Welcome back to season 2, episode 19, Cast and Blast Florida Conversations. I'm your host, Travis Thompson. And this week we got a really great episode with a good friend of mine, a guy I've known a long time, Scott McKinney. So that'll be coming up in just a second. Before we get there, I need to tell you about this episode's sponsor, Mr. Fletcher Hallett, Hallett Insurance. Double the L's, double the T's. Hallett for all your insurance needs. I'm not going to sing the song because there's music under this and that confuses me and you guys don't want to hear me sing. But I want to tell you guys about something. We've talked quite a bit about Fletcher with regards to like personal insurance, boat insurance, home insurance, the whole nine yards. But something we don't talk about a lot is business insurance. If you own a small business, one of the things that Fletcher's really good at is commercial policies. So reach out to him, 904-315-5812. Get Fletcher to get you a quote for your business. We've had a number of small business listeners to the show that have been really happy with the rates he's been able to get them, the policies he's been able to write on their businesses. So make sure you check him out. Now, today's episode is really different because we are interviewing the only duck call maker I know of in Florida, Scott McKinney, Dark Water Calls. And I've known Scott for several years. He's been to a bunch of our events. We've crossed paths a few times and he's just salt of the earth guy. He makes a lot of great duck calls, but he makes the best wood duck call on the planet, bar none. And at the end of this episode, we're actually going to do a little tutorial on some sounds that we make with his wood duck calls. So hope you guys will enjoy that, getting to know Scott and hearing about his calls. Scott McKinney, Dark Water Calls, coming at you right now. Here in the place where the magic happens. Is that what we call it?
You can call it that if you want to.
That's not what your wife calls it, right?
No. She calls it the Sugar Shack.
The Sugar Shack. Here in the Sugar Shack with Mr. Scott McKinney, Dark Water Calls. Scott, how you doing?
Man, I'm great, brother. How are you?
Doing good. Who is Scott McKinney?
First and foremost, I am a father, a husband, a grandpa, Papa Squat.
Papa Squat?
That's what they call me, or what he calls me. I preach at a little small church. Love to hunt, love to fish, you know, and that old, you see it all over everywhere, Facebook, shirts, coffee cups, whatever, but I truly get the fact that, you know, people search all their life for a fishing and a hunting buddy. I raise mine. So, life is good, man.
Big baseball fan?
Oh, baseball is it.
Coach Braves softball, though, right?
No.
What team? Oh, you're from Texas.
Yes, but I like the Red Sox.
Reds? Oh, that's a problem. We're going to have to start this over.
I dig the Rays, too, though, you know.
we're going to have to reset this.
I mean, Cubs are all right.
Yeah. No, we're going to have to cancel the whole show. The way we know each other is through Dark Water Calls.
Yes, sir.
You are the inventor of Dark Water Calls.
Yes, sir.
Only call maker I know of in Florida. I'm sure there's a couple more.
I know there is. I know of one more duck call maker. From over on the East Coast, I know of and then there's other turkey call makers, you know,
locally. Lots of turkey call makers. Yeah. Nate's a turkey call maker now, so.
Right, nice. Go ahead, Nate.
He bought one of those little mouth kits.
Was bragging about it.
With a jig or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I got one of those. I build a few of those mouth calls, but mostly I build friction calls, right. Slate calls.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk. Well, got to set a baseline. So first question we're going to ask you is pineapple, does it go on a pizza?
Oh, that's a tough one because is it tough? Yeah, it is. I won't order it, but I have eaten it and it's not terrible.
Oh, that's
but it doesn't answer. Really go. So I'm going to say no, it doesn't go on a
okay,
pizza.
Okay, that's the right answer. Duck blind snack. What is your go-to duck blind snack?
Peanut butter crackers.
Really?
Yes,
just the pre-wrapped?
Yep.
Get them out. That's generic, man.
Hey, dude, that's easy, though.
That's the teriyaki beef jerky of duck blind snacks.
That's right. That's right. Now, I'm not a teriyaki beef jerky guy, though.
No. It's funny. Almost everyone is either crackers or beef jerky. I like the ones that are crazy off the wall. Like, there was one person who had very specific animal crackers. Had to be frosted animal crackers.
Nice.
I don't even know what that is. So tell me a little bit about Dark Water Calls. When'd you start?
Officially, around 2016. Officially, however, I guess it was duck season 2016. But I started building calls probably in 2012.
Okay.
2012.
By building calls, you mean just turning them for yourself?
Yeah, because I had you know, I had one that I bought from the long bearded guys, and it's a wood duck call, and I actually broke it.
And squeezing it, right?
Right. And this
is
was
how,
like,
you broke it?
Yeah, exactly how I broke it.
You can't get enough pressure through that collar.
Not enough at all.
Squeal up for a wood duck.
So I that wasn't the first one that I had broken. So I was a little irritated, and I said, you know what? You know, I bet a man could make one of these. And that's how it all started. My buddy had a lathe. I went over there, turned one on his lathe. Looked like hammered dog, you know what? But I made it work. And once I figured it out, you know, it just started going, and I kept improving, and then finally I ran across somebody that wanted to buy one, and I was like, hey, this is pretty, you know.
Did you, so what we're talking about specifically is wood duck calls to start.
That's how I
started. You make a bunch of different calls, and we'll talk about those as we go through, but how did you design that first reed?
I'll be honest with you, I did kind of cheat on the very first one. I modeled it after the one with the long bearded guys.
Yep.
I modeled it after theirs. I ain't gonna say I copied it, because mine was wood, and you know. Then as time progressed, and I knew there had to be an easier way and a better way to get the exact sounds I wanted, because I wanted one that made multiple. You could get three or four different tones out of, where most of them on the market you can get two, maybe three if you're lucky. I wanted to be able I almost wanted to be able to call a teal with a wood duck call too. I mean, and I believe with mine now, you nearly can.
Right.
But, I got with a company in Arizona and started talking to these guys, and, they made what they called a wood duck call, and they sent me one as a test, and I tried it, and I said, hey, can we make it do this? Can we make it do that? They tweaked it. We tweaked it back and forth, and finally got what I liked, and I ordered 1,000 of them.
How many iterations did it take you to get that thing sounding right?
About 9, back and forth between Arizona and here. And then once I got it here, I was able to even adjust it some more, and got it right where it is today.
Your calls are tunable?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You can actually take them apart, tune them,
yes,
even after you get them?
Correct.
If you want it to be higher or lower.
That's right.
You hand-tune everyone you send out, though?
Yes. And I will say, with this COVID-19, everyone that I send out, because in order to hand tune it, I have to try it, but I do sanitize it before I send it out. Just FYI. So if it comes out smelling like, you know, citrus or something, it's not because I used orange wood.
So you went to your buddy's house, you built a call,
mm-hmm.
Then you said, somebody was like, hey, I like the way that sounds.
Right.
Then what happened?
It kind of blew up, man. I be honest with you. I mean,
you don't know what happened.
No, I mean, really, it just, like, I was at a boat ramp one day, and a guy was talking, actually over on Hernando Lake. We were in a boat ramp, and a guy said, man, there were some woodies chiming in right over here on the other side of us. And I mean, they just wouldn't let up, but we couldn't get them to fly. And I was like, that was me. And he was like, oh, no way. I said, sure. And I pulled my call out, and I hit it. And he was like, man, who made that? I said, I did. The guy says, I want it. And I said, well, this one's mine. He said, how much? So I sold it to him right there at the boat ramp.
What'd you sell the first one for? $100.
Nope. $50.
$50.
That's what I sold it for. And that's when I said, you know what? I guess. And if you still today, you know, for my basic call, it's $50.
Do you know the guy that has it?
Yeah,
tried to go buy it back from him?
Yeah, and he won't sell it back to me. He refuses to sell it. And I'm going to tell you, he calls it his dog turd, because that's what it looks like.
It's a bad.
It's bad. It's terrible. But I hadn't yet, you know, solidified my design and of the exterior, you know, the aesthetics of it.
Right.
I hadn't solidified that yet. And so it literally kind of looks like a cigar. And and so he calls it his dog turd.
But he won't give it up.
No. He said $1,000 wouldn't buy it right now.
That's funny, isn't it?
Yep.
So let's talk about calling wood ducks for a second. And at the end, if you're cool, I'd like to tag on some sounds.
Oh, sure.
If you're okay with that.
Sure.
We put some sound effects in here.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about calling wood ducks. One of the biggest misconceptions in calling wood ducks is people buy these calls and they make the call sound like the wood duck does when he's flying.
Right. And
talk about this. Like,
That's possibly the worst thing you can do, is try to imitate the wood duck when he's flying. I mean, if you hear the sound of a wood duck flying, that's either one of two things is happening. He's either scared and he's running, or he wants somebody to come fly with him. So they're going to fly. They're going to go with him or her. And so that's not where you want
to
be.
Passing wood ducks are not going to come land next to the sound of a flying wood duck.
No. No. If you got passing, if you got wood ducks crossing your path, you want the playing wood duck, the sitting duck, that's just things that I call it. That may not be what they're called, but it's just a tone that I go for, and I was able to get it out of these calls that I build.
How many sounds do you think wood ducks make? Me and you talking, I kill about as many wood ducks as anybody I know.
I would
it's
hate to guess.
I
guess
15 or 20 different sounds.
I was going to say at least 20. I don't know. I'm guessing 20, but
they make a lot of weird little. And I'm not a bird biologist, but they make a lot of weird little noises.
Right, and a lot of it's just a lot of it's like a little peep.
Yeah,
you know,
zips
just
and
right
peeps and chirps.
And I love sitting out and just listening to them, and that's how I got the sounds that when I figured out what sounds I wanted out of my call, I found that by sitting out there listening to them and calling flying wood ducks, you know. I mean, I did the same thing until I really started studying them. I mean, really just sitting and listening to them.
To my knowledge, and you don't have to name your competitors if you, but to my knowledge, you make the only wooden wood duck call that I know of. I don't know of anybody else making a wooden one.
The other ones that I know of are plastic,
acrylic, or
acrylics or whatever.
But. So I think, and I'm a fanboy. Like, there's no disguising. I've talked about your calls a million times on the show, but I'm a fanboy. I think there is a softness to that tone. Do you agree with that? I mean, you've blown a duck commander. You've blown a 8Ls, I guarantee it.
8Ls, Primos.
There's nothing wrong with those calls.
No, they just don't get the sound I like.
But you can't get that sound soft
that's
and
right
high without it sharpening.
That's right.
Am I saying that right?
Absolutely. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna put a plug in for a competitor of mine, but it's probably, in my opinion, it's the second best wood duck call is a Quaker Boy makes one called a Sittin' Woody. However, it doesn't do. It's totally opposite of what my call does.
That's the one with the air, like you
yes,
can squeeze
with
it,
the
right?
Tube on the end that squeezes, and
it's
designed,
almost like a flex tone.
It exactly, but what it is designed to, if you're sitting in a swamp. In a cypress head somewhere and you got woodies in there and you're bringing them to you, they're on the water, they're whatever, but it's real close quarters. It's not a loud call, it won't get loud. My call is the exact opposite. I mean, you could
almost run both calls if you're on a wood duck hunt.
Exactly. So
one serves one purpose, one serves the other.
Absolutely correct.
People, there's a kind of a misconception out there. Anytime you see it on Facebook a lot. I need a wood duck call, and people say, well, you need a cornfield or you need a tree with acorns.
Right.
Wood ducks respond to calls.
Hands down. Absolutely. 100% that they will respond to them. I'm not going to say they respond 100% of the time.
No.
But neither does a mallard or a
wood ducks don't
whatever
do anything 100% of the time.
Exactly. Which is not to change the subject, but that's one of the reasons I like to hunt them so much is just simply because you can't, it's hard to pattern a wood duck.
Right.
But it's fun that way.
For me, I think part of the, if we can get off the topic a little bit, I think part of the struggle there is there's such a diverse feeder in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So for us down here, they're looking for acorns, but if there's no acorns, they're going to land a spatterdock.
That's right.
And every lake is surrounded in spatterdock.
That's right.
And so while they might land here today, they might land 10 yards, 20 yards to your right tomorrow.
That's right.
And think they're feeding the same spot, and you're off the X by just enough.
I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me, but that was that's the reason you need to be able to call them, because you can bring them to you once they hit that spot 15, 20 yards away from you just far enough out of reach. You can bring them to you.
You absolutely can. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions, put you on the spot here as a wood duck caller. I struggle, if a wood duck lands in a pair, I struggle to call them to me. But if a wood duck lands as a single, I can get them to swim.
There ain't nothing on the spot about that, brother. That's a fact. Because typically, if they're paired, what I
have
found.
You don't
have
some secret sauce that I'm missing.
But what I have found is typically if you've got one that's paired up out there, he's happy. They're happy. They want to be in small groups. They want, and if you notice when they're flying, you'll see two, three, maybe four, but typically you're not going to see a group of more than
a flock of
that.
20
right,
wood
no
ducks. It's very rare.
So if they're by themselves, they're hunting somebody else to hang out with. So if they're by themselves, you can absolutely 100% you can call them to you.
Let's talk. You got into turning other calls at some point.
Yes.
Yes. What led to that? You just got the bug?
No, because I can tell you, there's three calls on my lanyard right now. A wood duck call, a mallard call, and a teal call. And I can tell you, I can, in the woods or out in the water hunting, I've only blown the teal call and the wood duck call, and the teal call very little, just because I don't hunt much other than wood ducks. I mean, if they fly.
We're in upstate Florida.
Right.
Like we're in the upper half kinda, of the peninsula, probably. Yeah. We're north of Tampa.
Right. Yeah. About 60 miles north of Tampa.
And so when you look around, you're looking at cypress swamps.
That's
you're
it.
At cypress lakes.
That's it. You're looking at the home of a wood duck. I mean, as you know, you're looking, this is the habitat that they like. So, and that's just my favorite duck to hunt. So, I mean, I concentrated on a wood duck. Well, then people started asking me, well, do you make a teal call? Do you make a mallard call? And I sure like that wood duck call. Do you make a mallard call? So I said, well, I mean, I'll give anything a try once, and if I like it, I'll do it again. So that's kind of how it ended up.
Now, your teal call, you changed, what was it, last year or the year before?
Last year.
You changed it and added a hole so you could get a little less back pressure?
Yes. So you could get, so it would, you could, essentially you could go, you can make it loud or you can make it quiet to try and, you know, because if you're blasting it all the time, there's nothing changing. And ducks tend to, I find that teal, as fast as they're flying by, if they hear a change, they're going to look, especially if it's a change with a like noise, you know, a sound that they like. And that's where that came from.
So that allows you to go high and low? Is that what you're saying?
Well, louder and softer and a little bit lower.
Gotcha. So it allows you to change your pitch.
Right.
And then, do you do a whistle?
No.
I did for a while, but I do make them.
I mean, I've got one right here. I make them, but I don't make them very often.
Gotcha.
There's not a lot of pintails around here, and you can sometimes work a teal with them.
There's just guys out there that make a better product for
right,
that.
Right, absolutely.
Like, we agree on that.
Absolutely.
You ever make the black belly whistle? Have you played around with that?
No, I haven't. I have not. I'm going to buy one from, I can't remember his name.
S.J. Kelly?
Kelly, yep. I'm gonna get one of his just because I like to play with them.
They're really cool. Have you ever seen the recipe for pushing two shot shells together?
Mm-hmm.
So I used to have one of those and lost it somewhere along the way, but you could definitely replicate a black belly with it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to try one.
I couldn't do a fulvus, but I could do a black belly with it.
Nice.
Now, you talked a lot about hunting wood ducks. You go hunt other places? You ever go hunt the STAs?
I have hunted an STA one time. Nothing against the folks that hunt them. More power to you. It's just not my cup of tea. I would rather, too many people, too much going on. I like to
get away.
Exactly. I'm not going to hunt a bunch of people when I go hunting. When I go hunting, I'm getting away from people. You know, if it was safe to go by myself, I would go by myself every day. You know, but I usually will go one other person, maybe two at the most. There might be three of us out there, and that's generally about it.
Now, you also got into turkey calls.
Yes.
Was that 2 years ago?
Three years ago.
And you made a slate call? No,
yep.
it was a slate call.
Yep.
Tell us about that. Do you like to turkey hunt?
Yes, I'm not a huge turkey hunter, but I like to call them up. I like to watch turkeys work because to me, some people like to watch mallards work or watch it. I mean, I like to watch a wood duck work too, but I really enjoy watching a turkey work. And if you can work and bring a turkey up close to you, you've done something. And so I mean, even when I was younger, I'd go turkey hunting, but I would really just be calling and somebody else would be shooting. I don't mind shooting them. I don't have anything against shooting them.
I enjoy the calling part of it. Now, and I think it was Cody Poss. Is that mm-hmm. who was piling up turkeys with your mm-hmm. call?
And still is.
Yeah. It seems like every time I turn around, he was posting a turkey with your call.
Yeah, he still is. Mouth calls and my slate calls.
So I want to ask you something. You just talked about wood ducks working. In my experience, a wood duck comes and dumps. Like, if he's coming, if you can break him,
right,
which is what I use your call to do, is I'm usually trying to break him off a path.
That's right.
If he's coming to me, I'm not blowing.
Nope.
Like, if he's coming anyway, I'm
that's right.
Which I do the same thing with a mallard. I do the same thing with a pintail, a bluebill, anything across the board.
And if I'm looking at their behind end, I'm not calling them either.
Nope, because they ain't coming.
Mm-mm.
But if they're quartering and I can break them off that path and get them to look my way, that's all I'm really looking to do.
That's
this
it.
It's not a call and response like a mallard.
No.
I think that's a misconception some people have out there.
People think a duck call and they automatically, the first thing you think of when people talk about duck hunting is a mallard. I mean, when you say duck hunting, people automatically want to think mallards. Especially people that aren't from this area, you know, that hunt farther up north or Arkansas or wherever they hunt, they think mallard automatically.
Any state that's not Florida,
right?
Georgia, they think mallard.
That's right. So, I mean, for me, I learned just like you were saying, when they start quartering, you can break them off that path and bring them to you. And then even when they hit the water, if they're a ways out in the water, you can bring them closer to you on the water.
Yep.
I mean, I've had them come right in, been quartering out, you know, coming around, circling a little slough that I was in, and I've called them and broke them off that pattern and brought them right into my decoy. They weren't coming on their own, but using the call, giving them the feet, a little feeder to, you know, the little, brrr, they come right in, and they'll get around them decoys. And I had to tell, you know, the guy that was with me, I was like, don't shoot, just watch them, just watch them. And he wasn't happy about that.
Having to wait.
Yeah.
Now, do you hunt? You hunt deer? You hunt other stuff?
No, I don't. I don't. I have. I just don't. My son does. But I'd rather I just fish and hunt ducks.
Now, you fish? You bass fish? You a freshwater guy?
Yeah,
freshwater guy.
Freshwater.
Because I know your son seems to be piling up the.
He'll fish anywhere. If it's water, he'll fish. And you got to watch him around big mud puddles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'll
pull
anywhere.
Some out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me about building a call. What's the trick there?
It's more of just testing. I mean, you know, you build it. When I first started, I had to get the link that I wanted right. And the only way to get it is get your inside hole, get the dimension right to fit the reed piece or the insert that you're using. And then you got to work on the length, and then the bell end, how big you want that, and the barrel, how big a diameter you want that hole to equalize the air pressure. And, you know, there's a lot to it. There's a lot more to it than I thought there was. It's not just sticking two pieces of wood together with a piece of plastic in the middle. I just tested it. I'd put it together and I'd blow it, and I started with pine 2x4s. You know,
really?
Non-treated 2x4s, and I just turned a couple of those.
Do they sound just the same? I mean, how much effect does the wood have on the sound beyond echoing or softening?
That's about all that I have found.
Because you could blow the reed in your hand.
That's right.
I think you showed me
that. That's right. You can blow it in your hand, but all in all, realistically, the wood, different types of wood gives you aesthetics, of course, but then you can get, you can make it, the more dense the grain in the wood, the louder the call is going to get, the more crisp the call is going to sound. The broader the grain, when you get into like your cedars and stuff like that, your softer woods are going to give you a softer tone. And that's kind of really about all I've discovered with it.
What is your, you don't turn acrylic?
No.
Why not?
First and foremost for me is I got a little bit of old school in me, and it's, you know, I like to go back to the original. I mean, now mind you, there's a lot of stuff that goes into my call that's not old school, but at least I can hang on to that part.
The wood,
you know, and I mean, I've started doing some oil finishes, so they really look old and, you know, that kind of stuff. But aside from that, it doesn't make near the mess that acrylic makes.
You said it's like spaghetti going around.
It's crazy. It wraps around the lathe and gets shot up around the lights in the shop and everywhere. I don't like the sound. The sound is just a little too
like
crisp, a little too. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
What's your favorite wood to turn?
Hands down, Cocobolo.
Why is that?
For one, it's just beautiful. But two, it's got enough oil in the wood itself, and the fire and the grain and or fibers of the grain are a lot more dense, and they're a lot more compacted. Woods, any basically your rosewoods, which is a Cocobolo, is a type of but then you get into like Patagonia rosewood, your bloodwoods, stuff like that. The dense African blackwood, you know, they're real dense, and it makes life a lot easier when you're turning it.
You and I had a conversation. You made a call for Nate
mm-hmm.
when he got married
mm-hmm.
out of, what was that burl?
Thaya burl.
And I said, what's the wood that you've wanted to turn? And it was buckeye burl?
Buckeye burl.
And you got some mm-hmm. up there. You're gonna make some.
Yep.
What else is on your hit list? Is there something else you want to turn that you haven't yet?
Yes. And that's a Cocobolo burl.
Okay.
And if I can ever find some, so anybody out there that hears this, if you run across any Cocobolo burl, be sure to hit me up.
Okay.
But yeah, if I can find some, that's and that call will probably
not leave the shop.
Never. Never.
It'll go
now, if I can
Scott.
Make more than one, then that's all right. But the one that I get my hands on is staying here.
You got into leather working.
Yep.
What,
yep.
2 years ago?
Yeah, about 2 years ago. Yeah, actually.
How did that come about?
To be honest with you, it was when you and I actually had a conversation about the
journals.
The journals. And I thought it would be cool to have a leather bound cover for that, like a notebook type thing or a portfolio type thing, and I decided I was going to make one, and I did, and I thought it came out pretty cool.
And since then, you've made gun cases.
Yeah,
what all have you made? Quivers.
A few holsters, some arrow quivers, a bucket load of wallets, guitar straps, belts, radio straps for firefighters and paramedics, and just all kind of stuff.
You like leatherworking more than woodworking?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all. No. I enjoy leatherworking, but it's, yeah, no. I enjoy.
Which one's more tedious?
I don't know. I think with turning my calls, I see production faster. You know, I see more of the chain.
Instant gratification?
Right. There you go. That's a good word for it, or a good pair of words for it. But yeah, and so I enjoy woodworking a whole lot more.
Have you woodworked anything that wasn't a call? Like, are you a craftsman that?
Other than building stuff around the house or whatever. I mean,
that's really the only thing.
Yeah, really. As far as like fine woodworking, it would be my calls, and that's it.
You got anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, actually, I do. I want to, and I know you're a big fan of youth hunts and bringing youth up, and I really want to hit on that a little bit, if you don't
sure.
mind.
No.
Here's
you've
the thing.
Been, by the way, you've been a huge contributor to that, too. Like, you've donated calls to us. You've donated calls to Ducks. I mean, organizations around the state and everything else. So the floor is yours. Talk about it.
I have a passion for kids. I got four of them of my own, and,
some of them are having their own.
Right, that's right. But I got also, there's kids. I've coached baseball, I've coached softball, and I feel like I got about 150 kids, to be honest with you. But, we sit as grown folks at times and talk about, oh, they're sky blasting. These folks over here are sky blasters, these folks over here, whatever. But it's because the reason the folks are out there doing that is because they weren't taught when they were young how to hunt. I don't mean necessarily, point a gun and shoot, but I mean how to actually hunt. Go out, find your game, scout it out, bring the birds to you. Don't just as they're flying by, blow them up. But I feel like it's our job to reach out and do that. Teach the younger generation, because, a lot of the issues, and you can edit this out if you want to, but a lot of the issues we have is, a lot of kids nowadays don't have that father figure there all the time to be able to take them out and hunt. Or the fathers are working because the economy, they're having to work all the time and they don't have the money to go hunt or whatever. So, anytime you get a chance to get a kid out there or get a first-time hunter, a young, teach them. Don't let them do that kind of stuff. Don't let them sky blast and explain to them why. I just have a passion for teaching people the right way to hunt and bringing up the next generation to appreciate what we have now so that later on they'll want to keep it that way. And, that ties right back into conservation and everything else. And I feel so strongly that the kids need to be involved and the kids need to be taught the right way.
I could not agree more. Like, I think that's a solid word. I think you are one of those people that you and I connected early on over
right.
that very
that's right.
thing. Like, what we were trying to do and what you're trying to do just aligned really well on that. I can't believe it's taken us this long to get together and do a podcast. Honestly.
I know, right?
And you and I have never hunted together.
No, we've threatened to do it.
We've planned it a couple of times, and it's just fallen apart for whatever reason.
We've threatened to do it several times.
And we want to take Josh and get him on some birds. Tell folks where they can find you on social media.
Facebook at Darkwater Calls, darkwatercalls.com. And I think Josh has still got on my Instagram. I don't know. I don't.
At Darkwater Calls.
At Darkwater Calls. And if you need to get a hold of me, just give me a call. You know, I don't mind ever talking on the phone. So it's
no. And you also. So I wanted to get to this. You also don't mind, and I've never minded either, helping people figure out these calls. Because one of the things I've heard, I've pushed a bunch of these calls. I've sold a bunch of them to my clients. And one of the things I've always heard is it sounds like an elk bugling or something. And I'm like, what are you doing there? And they'll hand me the call, and it sounds like a wood duck.
Right.
But there is a trick to blowing it, but absolutely, it does not require the pressure.
No, that's the problem. People get put too much pressure on them, and I have actually seen one of my reeds tear because
really?
Of people blowing
with
and
too much back pressure.
Too much back pressure, and I think I fixed that in the last bunch of reeds that I got. So, but I think we fixed that problem. It wasn't really a problem. If it was blown the way it was intended to be blown, it wasn't a problem at all. But people thinking it's like a mallard call or an acrylic call of some sort that they have to like almost blow their eardrums out blowing it, that you don't.
All right, if you're driving in a car, you may want to turn this down, but we're gonna grab a call. You got a call handy?
I can come.
What kind can of call
you
shop
give me
you
a
got?
Second?
Yeah. So if you're driving, you got the windows up. This might get a little loud because we've never done this before.
Nice.
But I think this is a good opportunity because a lot of folks out there have questions about running your calls, and
sure,
this is a good way to maybe put some of that out there. So. What you got? You got a wood duck call?
Yes, sir.
What's that made of?
This is actually a laminated wood, like a Spectraply diamond wood type stuff.
Okay.
I love it. It's got some really cool.
It does. It's
grain neat. In it. I love it.
So, what are you gonna give us first?
I honestly don't name the call what it is. I'll just run through a couple of.
Okay. Give me a sound and let's talk about it. All right. When do you blow that?
That is, to me, when they start quartering, I get that. I use that to make them look at me, to get them to turn, to break away.
Can you hit that sound one more time? There's three notes there, right?
Yeah.
And what you're doing is blowing hard and then cutting the air off on the second note.
That's right.
Right?
And cutting it off with my hand at the back end.
And that's creating the third note.
That's right.
That's the two-eat call.
Right.
That I tell everybody that's what you're saying basically is
right.
2 weeks.
Well, that is.
It but actually, you're enunciating that T at the end.
That's right.
That's where you get that third lilt. What else you got?
The little I call it their feeding or playing call. It's the where you roll your tongue in it.
You're not holding much air off on that at all.
No. Nope.
You're doing that like you would a feeder call on a mallard almost.
That's almost exactly. And I do that just. If they're still roosting or something, you know, just starting to break daylight.
Right at daylight.
That's right.
You'll hear a bunch of them doing that around.
That's right. And that's when I do it. And I'm hoping that if they're roosting, they're going to come over there towards me.
You got a chirp?
Nah, not really. I mean, just.
Which is kind of the two-eat, but reversed.
Exactly.
You're not squeezing the air at the end. You're letting the air out.
That's right.
So if you could see Scott, he had his hand over the bell. Is that what you call the bottom of it? Had his hand over the bell, and as he hit the sound, he opened it up.
That's right. And that's really about all I do. I mean, there's some folks that get real, real high that'll get a fourth note out of it, and that's Cody Poss is the one that kind of discovered that fourth note in it.
I will sometimes hold it close against my chest and just soft chirp with a little more air resistance. Let me see. You care if I'm blowing it?
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's... Yes.
Were you getting like a higher pitch?
That's
it's
right.
Almost a, it's not the, you don't want to do it rapid because it right. Almost sounds like the fly call.
That's right.
It's a little bit higher than the fly call, but it's softer.
That's the key to it, is that it's softer.
And it's a little noise they'll make sometimes. It almost blends into the zip.
No, you're right. You're right. That zip, and that's, I'm working on that.
But I hold that to describe it. It's almost like I'm saying the pledge. I've got the call mm-hmm. against my chest, so it's like muffled. And usually I got a jacket on or something.
That's right.
So it's the bell is almost muffled again by fabric. And I'll hit that as just a – that's a on-the-water call.
Absolutely. And that's a great sound, though. I mean, that's
– And I'll use that sometimes to break them in flight, too, specifically later season birds.
Right.
Birds
yes.
that have been hunted
that's
a lot,
wanna,
I'll use that to break them.
Well, it's a different – that's something different that you don't hear from – other, you know, other callers or other call makers or whatever, you don't hear that sound very often. And your late season birds, you want to save something a little bit different that they haven't heard.
It's also funny to me. You don't get. There's nothing perfect in nature.
No.
So it's interesting when you talk about a machined call that comes off of an assembly line, and that's not a knock on those calls because you can kill wood ducks. I've killed a lot of wood ducks with ADLs and a DC.
Absolutely.
But with those machined calls, they all sound exactly the same.
Almost.
And I've learned even with my own calling, there's a little bit of imperfection that's a good thing.
I agree. That's that one little difference that they don't hear, but it sounds close enough that that it makes them curious, I think.
It's funny, the competition callers out in the Midwest will talk about duck calls. In the competition call, you've got to sound technically perfect on every note. Really, you'll hear some weird squeaks from ducks out in the field.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of times I've seen in this competition calling, I've never heard ducks run some of the stuff they do.
Right.
But again, that's the competition. That's the difference.
So what's next for you at Darkwater?
Actually, I'm in the works. I've got in the works right now. I'm trying to develop a new teal call and also a goose call.
Okay.
And that I'm kind of excited about. It's in the early stages of development. I've taken, we got my shop moved and that kind of stuff. And now since I got it set back up, I've started kind of tinkering with it. And, the crazy thing is it's coming from as a request from Canada. Guy asked me, could I make a goose call? And I'm like, brother, I don't even know what a goose sounds like other than what I've heard on TV, I said, I don't get them where I'm at, and I don't hunt them, so I don't know. And the only reason I don't hunt them is because we don't get them down here.
Right.
Which I plan on going up there and hunting them with him. That's kind of the big project we got going on now is developing that goose call. And I'm going to do some, have some folks test it out for me that actually know what they're supposed to sound like, and then we'll go from there.
You, how far in advance, if somebody wants a call for Father's Day just went past, but if somebody wants a call for Father's Day or wants a call for Christmas or opening of the season, how far in advance they need to get on a list?
Like right now, I'm about 2 to 3 weeks out.
Gotcha. But the season gets closer, that will swell, right?
Right. But mind you, it's June, but come first part of August, July, towards the end of July, I'll be a month and month and a half out.
Because everybody's going to be...
That's when they start gearing up.
So why wait around?
That's right.
Go ahead and get your call order in now.
Absolutely. And I can make it out of... You can pick your wood. When it gets, when it gets real close to season, you're kind of going to have to...
On your website, can they pick their wood? Or will you prefer to message with them?
I would rather... If you want to, to pick your own wood, or if you want a custom call, I'd rather you get, message me off of Facebook or call me.
What's your number?
At 352-423-3413. And shoot me a call or text, either way, message me on Facebook or whatever, shoot me an email, scott@darkwatercalls.com, either way. And that way we can hook up and I can get you exactly what you're looking for. If I don't have the wood, I'll find it. And, if it's out there to be found, I'll find it.
The thing I love though, is while your calls look like safe queens, cause you do, I mean, you make a pretty call.
Thank you.
While they look like safe queens, they're very functional calls. You take them out, run them.
I'll hunt any call I make.
Yeah. And so you've made some for me over the years with funky tips in them, like gorgeous calls. And I've killed just as many wood ducks over those as I have the plain ones, as I have it's awesome, man.
Well, I take pride. I honestly do take pride in each call I make. And that was the whole goal. I want one that looks pretty, but yet you can still take it. And you're not scared to get it out there and get it messed up because, and nothing against folks that get a lot more money for their calls than I do, but I'm not out here to make a living on it. I'm out here because I love doing it, and maybe one day I might have to raise my prices because I need to make a living on it or something. I don't know what's in the future. Well,
you have to raise your prices, but as your wood,
absolutely,
like your supply cost is high on the burls.
The higher end woods, of course, they're going to cost more.
Exactly.
And if something happens and they, ban the import of some sort of wood, it may, I may have to go on the black market, on the black webs or whatever they call that.
The dark web.
Dark web and to find it. But, like I said, I try to keep my costs low just for that reason, because I want you to be able to take it out there and hunt it, because you wouldn't believe the amount of calls I've sold just from calls hanging on somebody's lanyard at a boat ramp.
Well, you and I have done that before. I've called you and said, dude, I need another call. Absolutely. Like tomorrow, because I just sold one at the boat ramp
Absolutely.
The one you just sent me.
So, yeah, I'm, you know, like I said, I'll try to work it. I'll work with you, work, you know, we'll make it happen, whatever.
So, Scott, thank you so much. Thank you for your passion around youth and hunting. You've been a huge contributor to conservation through recruitment, through just participating in it, and you've been at the end of a lot of wood ducks who have been killed.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys. The podcast has been awesome. Since I've been a listener since the very first episode, and I haven't missed one. And every one of them, I get a chuckle. But it's good stuff too. You know, I mean, I've learned a lot. So I appreciate you guys and what y'all do.
Thanks, Scotty. Thanks for listening to Cast and Blast Conversations this week with Scott McKinney, Darkwater Calls. Make sure if you don't have your call already, we talked about timelines and I had recorded this in June. So make sure if you don't have your Darkwater call already, you get an order into him ASAP, pronto. Tell him that we sent you. Tell him that you heard it here. He'll work with you. He'll get you guys out the door as quick as he can. I promise he is busting his tail to get calls in people's hands. He wants you guys out there hunting just like he wants to be out there hunting. If you like the show, enjoy what we're doing, please figure out a way to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That's one of the best ways people can find our show. Another way you can really help us out is by sharing this podcast, whether you're sharing it by emailing it, by sending a link, by texting a link, by just telling someone at the water cooler, hey, check out Cast and Blast Florida. You could share us to groups. You could share us to pages, whatever on the internet, however you can figure out to get the podcast in front of new ears. We greatly appreciate it because it helps us with rankings. It helps people find us. It just helps us in a number of ways. So thank you so much for doing that. We know so many of you done it and continue to do it week after week, and we cannot thank you enough. As always, hope you guys have a great weekend, and we'll see y'all next week.